You know, if you look back just like 5 years ago to around 2021, the image of a software developer was pretty universally understood.
Oh, yeah, totally. It was this act of pure manual construction.
Exactly. You sat in a dark room, you stared at a glowing screen, and you typed every single line of code by hand,
Yeah.
like brick by digital brick.
Right. It was a craft completely defined by syntax recall and, keystrokes. You really had to have the entire architecture mapped out in your head before your fingers even moved.
But today, here in 2026, that picture is just totally scrambled.
Oh, completely unrecognizable.
Because today, that same developer might just type a single sentence describing what they want a program to do, hit enter, and just watch a fully functioning block of complex logic materialize right in the editor.
Which feels like magic, right?
It does. But as we're going to explore today, that magic button is creating this massive trust paradox across the entire tech industry. So, welcome to the deep dive. Today we're looking at the reality of vibe coding.
Yeah, and why the most lucrative skill in software right now isn't actually writing code, but knowing how to babysit an AI.
Exactly. And for you listening, our mission today is decoding the fastest growing software career path of 2026.
We're basing today's analysis on this really comprehensive new 2026 career guide. It's called Vibe Coding with GitHub Copilot by Dinesh Sripathi.
And it is a fantastic read.
It really is, because what's so compelling about this research is that it strips away all that futuristic hype. It looks at the actual day-to-day reality, the global economics, and the highly specific skills you need to survive what is, let's be honest, a very chaotic transition period.
Chaos is the right word. Okay, let's unpack this. What exactly are we dealing with here? Because we throw around this term vibe coding, and it sounds almost casual, like you're just, hanging out and catching a vibe with your computer.
Right, like you're just chatting
Yeah.
with a friend. But the reality is, it's an incredibly structured, high-stakes workflow.
Yeah.
Basically, you express your intent in plain English, and the AI assistant, like Copilot, drafts the actual logic for you. You're moving from execution to specification.
So you aren't really recalling syntax anymore.
No, not at all. You are describing behavior. The AI sits in your IDE, reads the file you're working on, scans your open tabs to build this context window, and then it predicts what you need.
Right, so we're talking about inline completions where it sort of ghosts ahead of your cursor.
Exactly. Or comment-driven generation, where you just outline a function in a comment and boom, it builds it. Or even those agent workflows for massive multi-file refactoring jobs.
And I mean, the adoption numbers in the guide are just staggering.
Yeah.
Looking at the 2025 Stack Overflow data, it says 84% of developers are already using or planning to use AI tools,
Which is wild.
and 51% use them every single day.
Ugh.
Plus, by January this year, Fortune 100 adoption hit 90%. That drove, what, 4.7 million paid
Yeah,
subscribers?
4.7 million. So this isn't some fringe experiment anymore. It is the default way software is built today.
But, and this is the part I find crazy here, is the paradox that really jumps out of the data. Despite this near universal adoption, trust in AI output has actually plummeted.
Yeah, I took a huge hit.
It dropped by an 11-point margin. Only 29% of developers say they actually trust the code their AI generates,
Yeah, less than a third.
which is insane. How is adoption skyrocketing while trust is just cratering?
What's fascinating here is the collision between what a large language model is mathematically designed to do and what a software developer structurally needs it to do.
Right, they aren't aligned.
Not at all. An LLM basically predicts the most statistically likely sequence of tokens based on its training data. That's it. It does not prove correctness.
So it's basically guessing.
A highly educated guess, yes.
Right.
It has no internal logic engine that verifies if the code will actually compile or, if it solves your specific business problem.
It's just giving you that guess disguised as absolute certainty.
Which is incredibly dangerous. These models are phenomenal at what we call the happy
A
path.
happy path, right.
Yeah, that standard frictionless scenario where all the data is formatted perfectly and nothing goes wrong, but they will silently break on edge cases.
Silently break, which is the worst kind of breaking.
Oh, absolutely. They will fail catastrophically if a user inputs a null value, or they'll like hallucinate some bizarre memory leak when they're dealing with a complex time zone conversion.
You know, it makes me think using Copilot is basically like having a hyper-caffeinated intern who works at light speed.
I love that analogy.
Right. Like they will confidently hand you this 50-page financial algorithm in 5 seconds, which is amazing.
Sure.
But if you don't check their work line by line, you're going to find out they accidentally crashed the company car on page 42 because they just, forgot to account for a leap year.
That analogy hits the nail on the head because the AI, just like that intern, lacks genuine comprehension. It just knows what a financial algorithm usually looks like.
Right, it's mimicking understanding.
Exactly. And that lack of deep understanding is creating this massive friction point for developers. The data shows that 66% of developers struggle specifically when the AI output is close, but just like slightly misses the mark.
Oh man, which completely breaks your state of flow. That's the hitty tax here, isn't it?
It really is.
Because if the code is completely wrong, you just delete it and move on. You laugh and say, nice try, AI.
Yeah.
But if it's 95% right, you have to hunt down that tiny microscopic flaw.
And that right there is exactly why 45% of developers are now reporting that debugging machine-generated code actually takes longer than just writing it from scratch in the first place.
Wow, wait, longer than writing it from scratch?
Yeah, 45% of them say that. Because think about it, when you write code manually, you hold the architectural context in your working memory, you know the exact logic path you were trying to build.
Right, you have the map in your head.
But when the AI writes it, you have zero context.
Mm-hmm.
You have to essentially reverse engineer a machine's probabilistic thought process.
Which sounds exhausting.
It is. You are forced to read it defensively, basically assuming it's hiding some critical vulnerability.
So this fundamentally upends what a developer actually does for 8 hours a day.
It flips it upside down.
If the AI is this untrustworthy, hyper-fast intern, your job is no longer to be a typist. You are now an editor, a code reviewer, and a manager.
Yeah, that is the pivotal shift, moving the human effort up the stack, so to speak. When you look at a modern engineer's day in 2026, the job description has inverted. Out of the 9 core responsibilities outlined for this role, only 1 is actually generating code.
That's wild. 1 out of 9? And the other 8 are entirely about judgment and validation.
Exactly.
You're translating business requirements into these hyper-precise specifications. You're enforcing security and licensing standards.
Right, making sure the AI didn't just paste in a GPL license snippet and get you sued.
Or hard code an AWS key right into the public repo.
Oh, that happens all the time. You're also fundamentally changing how you test. If an AI is writing your logic, standard unit tests often just aren't enough anymore.
Right, because it might pass the unit test, but fail in the real world.
Exactly. So you have to move toward property-based testing, where you basically bombard the AI's code with randomized inputs to see where its assumptions break down.
Almost like stress testing the AI's logic.
Exactly. And crucially, you have to maintain overall architectural coherence, because if you don't, your code base just turns into this Frankenstein monster of disjointed machine-generated fragments.
Which means you need a completely different technical foundation. The research actually highlights 3 non-negotiable languages for this new era.
Yeah, this part was really revealing.
JavaScript is obvious, right? It's the backbone of the web, and the models are trained heavily on it.
Sure.
And Python makes sense because its syntax is highly readable, making that heavy auditing process we just talked about much faster. But the standout requirement to me was TypeScript.
Ah.
The data suggests TypeScript is disproportionately valuable in a vibe coding workflow. Why is that? I mean, why not just stick to plain JavaScript?
Well, consider what's happening mathematically under the hood. Think of the LLM's context window like it's short-term memory.
Okay.
If you feed it dynamic, untyped JavaScript, the AI is essentially guessing what a variable holds. It might think, let's say user data is a string when it's actually a nested object. It just has way too much freedom to hallucinate.
So it's operating completely in the dark.
Basically, yeah. But when you use TypeScript, you're essentially handing the AI a rigid, unbending blueprint. You explicitly define the exact shape of the data, what a function must receive, and what it must return.
Oh, I see.
And because LLMs operate purely on token prediction, those strict type annotations actually narrow the mathematical probability of what the next line of code should be.
So you're putting guardrails on the math.
Exactly. You are virtually eliminating structural hallucinations before they even happen. Plus, the TypeScript compiler acts as your first line of defense. It catches the AI's silly logic errors before the code even runs.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, and I have to push back on the core premise of this entire movement.
Go for it.
If 45% of people say debugging this AI code is slower, and you have to do all this intense specification, and you have to build heavier property-based tests, and constantly guard against this Frankenstein architecture.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it just be faster to write the code yourself? Like, are we actually saving any time here, or are we just shifting the bottleneck from typing to debugging?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the answer is it depends entirely on the domain of the problem.
Okay, what do you mean?
Traditional manual coding is absolutely still superior for novel algorithms or highly performance critical systems or safety critical code. You definitely do not want an AI hallucinating the logic for a pacemaker.
God, no.
Or a high frequency trading engine or an encryption protocol.
Right. Anywhere a single hallucination is catastrophic, you write it by hand.
Exactly. But look at the broader industry. That is not what most software developers actually do all day. We all know most developers spend their days writing routine CRUD endpoints.
Create, read, update, delete. The boring stuff.
The boring stuff. They're building standard validation forms, boilerplate API integrations, and generic UI components. And for that well-trodden, repetitive work, GitHub's own telemetry studies show that developers using AI complete tasks roughly 55% faster.
55% is a massive jump, but let me press you on that. Is a 55% faster task completion actually creating long-term technical debt? Because generating a form quickly is great. If it's poorly optimized, someone has to pay the piper eventually.
And that is the exact tension the industry is wrestling with right now. The typing has gotten easier, but the thinking has gotten exponentially harder.
Right.
The secret to this whole career path, the reason certain people are thriving while others are failing, is having the judgment to know when to unleash the AI to write a standard database migration and when to completely shut it off and handcraft a complex piece of business logic yourself.
So it all comes down to judgment.
Yes, it's the economics of judgment.
And that shift from generation to judgment has created a massive market imbalance. Let's look at the macroeconomic data for a second. The demand for AI fluent talent is exploding, but the supply of people who can actually do the validation piece is lagging far behind.
The NASSCOM figures are a perfect bellwether for this. The demand for this specific skill profile is growing at nearly 40% year on year.
40%?
Yeah. But the supply of skilled engineers who can actually audit and direct the AI is only growing at like 15 to 20%.
Wow, that delta between 40% demand and 15% supply, that is where massive careers are made.
Oh, absolutely.
It's fundamentally altering startup economics. Too. I mean, a three-person engineering team can now ship a product that used to require eight engineers. If you're a technical founder, your runway just doubled because your initial payroll got slashed.
But for the engineers who do get hired into those leaner, faster teams, that talent gap translates directly into a massive salary premium.
How massive we're talking.
Well, the 2026 data shows that vibe coders, and I mean the true editors, not just the people copying and pasting prompts, are earning 30% to 50% more than general software engineers with equivalent years of experience.
50% more. To ground those numbers, the data looks heavily at the Indian IT market, specifically hubs like Hyderabad.
Right.
For a fresher, someone with 0 to 2 years of experience, we are seeing ranges of 4.5 to 9 lakhs per annum. Mid-level is pulling 10 to 22 LPA. Seniors are at 22 to 40 LPA.
And architects are leads.
They're commanding anywhere from 40 to over 80 LPA. It's wild.
And Hyderabad is really becoming ground zero for this shift because of the massive concentration of global capability centers, or GCCs, located there.
And let's connect that for a second. Why does a listener sitting in Austin or London or Berlin care about the GCC metrics in Hyderabad? Like, why is that relevant globally?
Because it reveals the top-down standardization of the global enterprise.
Okay, expand on that.
Those GCCs take their tooling directives from global parent companies. If a multinational based in San Francisco or London has mandated AI-accelerated workflows for their engineering centers in India, it means the entire global pipeline has shifted.
Ah, I see.
If you want to work for a Fortune 500 company today, anywhere in the world, you have to prove you can integrate into that specific workflow because your counterparts on the other side of the world already are.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Why are companies willing to pay a 50% premium for an engineer if the tool is supposedly doing all the coding for them? And if you want in, what actually gets you the job? Because let me guess, taking a weekend Udemy course and getting a PDF certificate is not going to cut it in this market.
Not even close. This raises an important question about how we even measure engineering value in an era where code is basically free.
Right.
The market is flooded with people who can generate code. Anyone can open a chat window and spit out a Python script. Employers don't care about your ability to generate.
They care about the judgment.
Exactly. They are desperately hunting for people who can validate.
So how do you prove validation in an interview? Like, what's the actual proof?
By showing the receipts. Employers now expect a portfolio of at least 4 deployed version-controlled applications. And I don't mean simple tutorial clones, like a to-do app.
Right. Everyone has a to-do app.
Yeah. They want real projects with databases, secure authentication, and CI/CD pipelines. But the real kicker for the 2026 interview process is the defense of your code.
The defense, like a thesis.
Kind of. You have to be able to explain exactly why you overruled the AI during the build process.
I love that evolution of the technical interview. It's no longer just, you know, stand at a whiteboard and write a sorting algorithm while someone stares at you.
Right, which was always a terrible metric anyway.
Exactly. Now it's an active demonstration of judgment. They want to hear you say something like, Copilot suggested this rejects block for user validation, but I rejected it because it introduced a redosh vulnerability, so I refactored it to use a stricter boundary.
Yes, that is exactly the answer that gets you hired. You are being paid for your architectural coherence. You are being paid to prevent technical debt from accumulating at machine speed.
Okay, so let's bring this down to the ground floor. We've talked about the theory, the trust paradox, the market economics.
Mm-hmm.
If you are listening to this right now and you want to start this journey, what is the actionable roadmap? What is step one?
Step one is going to sound incredibly counterintuitive.
Hit me.
Step one is turn the AI completely off.
Wait, turn it off.
Completely off. If you are a beginner or even a mid-level dev transitioning into a new language, you must spend the first 2 to 3 weeks writing basic logic entirely by hand.
Which has to feel agonizingly slow. I mean, you know the magic button is right there in your editor, just waiting to do the work for you in 3 seconds.
It feels like walking through molasses, I won't lie. But it is the highest return investment you can make. And it really comes down to cognitive science.
How so?
The core philosophy here is that you cannot review and critique code that you cannot natively read. If you rely on the AI from day one, you will hit a brick wall around week 6.
Right, because the moment the AI generates a subtle, complex bug in a nested function, you won't have the foundational literacy to decipher what you're even looking at.
Exactly.
You'll just be staring at a screen of broken logic, completely paralyzed because you skipped the foundational reading comprehension phase.
You have to build the mental parser first. Then in step two, you turn the assistant on, but you keep it on a tight leash.
What does a tight leash look like in practice?
You use it for single functions only.
Yeah.
And you force yourself to read every single suggestion line by line before hitting tab to accept it. You are deliberately building the muscle of an editor.
And speaking of building muscles, there's a brilliant practical exercise mentioned in the research for building your prompting skills.
Oh, I love this one.
It suggests sitting down and writing a bad, intentionally vague prompt for a task. Then write a highly specific, structurally rigid prompt for the exact same task and compare the architectural outputs side by side.
It is a phenomenal exercise. When you provide vague input, the AI produces plausible code that does the wrong thing, which, as we discussed, is the most dangerous kind of code.
Because it looks right at first glance.
Exactly. Spending one afternoon seeing exactly how your natural language choices physically alter the machine's architectural decisions will teach you more than a month of watching passive video tutorials.
And from there, you graduate to building those full portfolio projects. You deliberately break your own code to practice debugging without the AI's help.
Essential skill.
And you learn how to write those property-based tests we talked about, eventually deploying to a real host. It's the transition from a hobbyist playing with a chatbot to a professional shipping secure software.
If you take one summary away from all of this data, one core theme you really have to internalize, it is this. Direction, not delegation.
Direction, not delegation.
Yes, you are the director. The AI is your crew. Your value in 2026 is your judgment, your taste, and your architectural foresight, not your typing speed.
Direction. Not delegation. That is the perfect distillation of the entire movement. But before we wrap up today's deep dive, there is a quiet, almost unsaid implication hiding in all this research that I really want to leave you, the listener, to mull over.
Ah, the generational shift.
Exactly. Think about who's currently best at vibe coding today. It's the senior developers.
Oh, right, the veterans.
They're the ones who can instantly spot when the AI is hallucinating a bug or introducing a security flaw. They have this incredible superpower. But they got that superpower, that deeply ingrained editor's intuition, because they spent the last 10 or 20 years staring at blank screens, making mistakes, and writing millions of lines of code manually.
They built their internal compass the hard way through years of friction.
Right. So here's the provocative thought to take with you. If our reliance on AI assistance fundamentally forces all developers to become editors rather than writers, what happens in a decade when all of those current senior developers retire?
It's a scary thought.
It really is. If you are a beginner starting today, relying on Copilot to generate your boilerplate and structure your apps, how will you ever build that deep, instinctual gut feeling for when code is just slightly wrong?
It's the ultimate paradox of the era. The very tool that makes us infinitely faster today might be starving the next generation of the friction they desperately need to develop true expertise.
So as you embark on this path, remember the hyper-caffeinated intern. They might be driving the car and they might be driving it fast, but you better make sure you know exactly how the engine works before you let them take the wheel on the highway. Keep learning, keep questioning the output, and for the love of all things holy, keep checking the time zone math.